You can be seated. So grateful for students and young ones have been serving. Just realized I lost my music stand, so I'm stealing this one. But it's exciting, especially if you're a guest with us this morning, a little bit different because many of the students that have been leading, many of those that are on the platform, have been those that are either current students in our youth ministry or folks that work and serve in youth ministry, in the tech booth in the back, running the slides, and Adam on the soundboard. And it's just awesome to see the ways that these things that we're talking about, as far as the Word of God taking root in someone's life, is being fleshed out in ways that we can see this next generation leading now and leading well. I'm so excited about that. Also, welcome once again to those of you who are Discovery Day parents. I noticed some parents kind of mouthing along some of the words. I'm sure you are practicing with your students as they put together that great recitation. Awesome job for those guys. And if you're joining us online, we welcome you. We're so glad that you're with us. As we get started this morning, this time where we're digging into the Word, would you just bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you so much for the many ways that we see and we feel your presence through your people. Lord, especially for the kids, for the students that have been leading us this morning, we are grateful for you, your leading in their lives. And Lord, we pray earnestly that what you've started would continue to take root for them, for the sake of your kingdom. So Lord, today as we come together to dig into your word, we pray your continued leading for us. Lord, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage our hearts today as we seek you and we seek to be receptive to what it is you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 32 years ago, I was 5 years old, going on six, and beginning my early years of elementary school, like some of the little ones are about ready to do that we saw here this morning, the year was 1986. And in that year, unrelated to what I was doing as my five-year-old self, there was a group of youth ministry leaders that gathered together here on the west side in the home of Ron and Paula Cunningham. Some folks that were here that many of you might recognize the name. Maybe some of you don't, if, like me, your timeline jumped in with Chapel Rock a little bit later on. But there were some folks just gathered in a living room, having some conversation, and a seed of something was planted in them that evening that began with a simple question. And the question went something like this: what would it look like to really engage our youth in living out the good news of Jesus across the street and around the world? What could that mean? What would that look like? And it started with a simple question, a seed planted in the dirt, you might say. I love those moments where times where something simple, something that seemingly maybe might just begin with a good question or a simple vision takes root, and among a group of people that are submitted to the work of Jesus in their lives, it's awesome to see ways that things like that blossom and grow in ways that we never imagined. So 32 years later, we sit or stand here together this day, not to the day exactly, but what I want you to know is this July, just a few months from now, we will be sending out our 65th youth mission team that started with the seed of youth missions with a simple question in a living room that day in 1986. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Yes. I'm just overwhelmed by the work of God in and among and through so many of you in this room that have been a part of those teams throughout the years. 32 years of fertile soil woven within the fabric of Chapel Rock when it comes to youth missions. You know, we're not naive to think that everything's been smooth sailing through those years. Certainly it has not, but I'm blown away by the lives that I see that have been changed. The work done, the people reached, the ways teams have not only been sent out from this place, literally across the street sometimes, and around the world, but ways that they've come back changed, ways that experiences like this have made it to where their lives are never the same after seeing the kingdom of God in all of its expansive wonder and power throughout the world. And let me say, there's never been a more critical time for God's people to be engaged in what's happening around us. Even though there's been abundant fruit through the years, there's still much left to be done in the way of engaging in the places that are most in need of Jesus in our world. And so we're going to look at a passage today as we dig into our time together in these next moments, in which Jesus has a lot to say about what it looks like to be receptive to the work of God in our lives and ways that we can help others be receptive as well. It all comes out in a parable that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, I don't know if there's a pew Bible in front of you, if you've got something, a device to look it up on, Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 23 is the passage that we're going to be looking at that I'd love for you to have in front of you. And we're actually kicking off a new sermon series today called The Secrets of the Kingdom. And this particular week, we're looking at this secret of the dirt. Something simple, yet profound, that we're going to wrestle with today. This ordinary thing that God can use in an extraordinary way to do far more than we can ever imagine with those who are receptive to his work in their lives. So the big idea is really simply this. The soil matters more than the seed. And we're going to unpack in these next moments what exactly that means as Jesus tells this story about a farmer sowing some seed and some different places where the seed falls. His disciples actually ask him why he's using a parable to be able to communicate the truth that he's talking about here. And Jesus explains here, as we dig into this parable, he explains that his use of parables really has kind of a twofold purpose. One, to reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it. And two, kind of a little harder one to think about, but to conceal the truth from those who were indifferent to it. Jesus has some strong words to say, and when you think about the context in Matthew chapter 12 and 13, there's a lot going on, and part of what he was sorting through, working through, was some people, even religious folks, that were coming to him at the place where their hearts were very hard, and him trying to help them come to a place where their hearts were softened to be receptive to what God wanted to do in their lives. So let's hear the story first, and then we'll kind of pick up where Jesus actually explains this passage later on in chapter 13. But beginning in verse 1, here's kind of the context of where it starts. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. You ever need to just go sit by the lake? Go for a walk? Yeah, Jesus was there. So he goes out and sits by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, seems like a pretty straightforward story initially, except if you don't know anything about farming maybe you don't know anything about farming in this day and age, and certainly it's a little bit tricky to think about what farming was like in the first century. And if you don't know either of those things, it could seem like on the surface what's going on here is we've got a bad farmer on our hands. I mean, you know, you're going, okay, seed on the path, like seed on the rocks, among the thorns, on this, like, what are you doing? Are you just, you know, what's happening here? But know this about fields in the first century. They aren't really like what we know here in Indiana, especially where I'm from, where fields are laid out in mile squares, you know, with the county roads, you know, sort of separating them. To have a field then would mean that it potentially would have actually even included a few paths that crossed it, because the shortest distance between point A and point B was a path that needed to go right through what happened to be your field. But those paths were also practical. Now, also, the ground was different than the ground that we know here in central Indiana, especially if you've ever been to Israel and seen some of those places. A lot of places include pretty big rocks, and when those rocks are in your way and it's impractical to move it and you don't have the equipment, well, that rock can just kind of stay where it is in this field, bigger than something you want to mess with. Or in other areas, the dirt, the topsoil, was actually so shallow that it actually concealed a rocky surface that was just beneath the topsoil. So what seems at first like it could be bad farming actually is a pretty typical scene that would unfold many times over in many fields across the region, where a farmer would sow his seed, and some certainly would fall on good soil, but some would also fall along the path or among the rocks or on shallow soil or among the weeds, and some on good soil. And the story here, what I want you to see, is really less about the farmer and his seed, and it's more about the condition of where the seed lands. Because after Jesus tells us why he's speaking in parables here, he does something that he doesn't always do. And I love this, because he really kind of comes to the heart of teaching what he's saying in the verses that follow. The reason he's doing this, and it's specifically to his disciples here, is because they demonstrated, as they were gathered with him, that even though they were far from perfect, their hearts were receptive to him. And they were more than willing to join him in this work of cultivating soil in their own lives and cultivating soil in the lives of others, that his hope was that they would be receptive to him as well. So we pick up in verse 16, and Jesus explains to them what's happening, what's going on, what's the meaning of this story. Verse 16 says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears about the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. Now, this is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." There's so much that we could dig into here, pun intended, when it comes to this passage. But one of the things that grabs me from this text is the way that Jesus explains his own teaching using something as simple as dirt. And if you think about the hardness of people's hearts and the difficulty that it was for them to take a hold of what he was freely offering, it's simple, but it's so profound that he uses this idea of dirt to challenge the hardest of hearts, to think about truly what was being produced in their lives. And he really digs into this idea that soil matters. Soil matters even more than seed. It's not to take anything away from the seed that's so significant, but Jesus is explaining this in this parable, that whether or not the gospel bears fruit in someone's life is not so much about the sower or the seed. We see a sower who's lavish in giving every opportunity, no matter what the soil, but it has everything to do when it takes root, if it takes root, with the condition of the soil. And the point of today, and the question that we're asking, especially as we look back, we think about all God's done, we look forward to what's ahead, is, are we a people who are receptive to the Spirit of God and to his work in our lives? And taking that a step further, are we about helping other people be receptive to that as well. Planting seeds isn't just our job alone, and I'm so thankful for that, that the Lord is planting seeds beyond what we can imagine. God works in some pretty amazing ways to plant seeds in people's lives. Sometimes he uses other people. Sometimes he uses experiences, like a mission trip. Sometimes he uses a simple idea or a conversation or somebody you work with, or a heart that's already been transformed to maybe help you in a way that God can break through and help your heart to be receptive to the Lord's leading. It's our job to create an environment where we and other people can be receptive soil. I don't want you to just take my word for this. I want you to hear some stories about some ways that this has looked pretty awesome in the lives of some people I'm going to introduce you to. So if you guys want to come on up and join me here on stage. We got three folks. Let me just get you some stools here. Come on into the living room. It's gonna be great. Set that down. You know, when you have people over, there's always laundry to put away and socks that are laying on the ground and all that fun stuff. So these are my friends here. First of all, we got Ron Greiner, who's the director, executive director of Mission Indy, and we're excited for him to join us. And then we have in the middle Aaron Wright, who is a sophomore at Ben Davis High School, and we have Tom Schneller down there on the end, who's the director of Disciple Makers. And we're going to hear just a little bit about what does this look like. Ron's going to give us a look back. Aaron's going to give us kind of a present day look. And Tom's going to give us a look forward at some pretty cool things that are happening when we allow our hearts to be receptive and something can take root beyond what we imagine. So, Ron, I'm excited to have you here and so excited that you got to share in something in 1996 that really was one of those simple things that took root in a way that we never imagined. So take us back to 1996. Yeah. Tell us what that was.
All right. Yeah, some of you were on that trip, so you will remember this well. But in July of 1996, a group of students and adults from Chapel Rock Youth Missions was in Caracas, Venezuela, on an evangelistic trip. And I remember the last evening as we were sitting around dinner, just kind of talking about the trip, hearing some of the students say things like, you know, this trip changed my life. Or, when I get back to Indianapolis, I'm going to be really serious about sharing my faith. And we thought, how cool is that? Uh-oh, but wait. I think maybe we've heard that before. In fact, if we were honest, probably some of us had even said it before. And so it's like a light bulb went on, and we realized that, wow, we need to do something about helping us all understand that the mission of God is a lifestyle. It's about the soil that we are living in every day of our lives, at home as well as on the mission field. And so we began to get our students involved in things right here in Indianapolis. We met ministries and churches that we'd never known before. And the idea was born with Darren Hansen, our youth pastor at the time, that what if we challenged those students from Venezuela, the trip from Venezuela, to really step out in leadership roles and help others be involved in sharing that message around the city of Indianapolis. And so the idea of Mission Indy came about that fall of 96, and in July of 97, about 200 people gathered here at Chapel Rock for a week, and some of you were instrumental in helping that week happen. But beyond the week, we had people telling us, hey, you ought to keep doing this around the city and from the churches who came in. And so we did in 98, 99. But then churches started asking for more. How about doing something in June or August or school year? And we're going, oh, wow, this is way bigger than we ever imagined. So, God, what are you up to? And we began to put a team of people together and pray together for about a year, even as we were planning for Mission Indy 2000. But by October of 2000, we pretty much knew that God was saying, yes, take Mission Indy full time. And so we went before the elders and asked them if they thought this was a good idea. And they set us apart for ministry. And Mission Indy was forming a nonprofit. And so in March of 2001, I left industry, went full time with Mission Indy. And I guess the thing that I keep thinking back about is that, wow, we get the opportunity to work with literally hundreds of churches from around the Midwest and beyond. We've had the privilege of discipling about 115, 120 summer interns over those years. And I'm not sure if we will ever know, this side of heaven, the full impact that the soil of Chapel Rock Youth Missions has had on Mission Indy.
Wow, that's amazing. I praise God for, you know, a conversation at the end of the day. What if? And here 21 years later, what an amazing thing. So I'm just curious, before we hear from Aaron, for you as the executive director, what keeps you personally rooted and growing as you try to stay faithful to that call God's placed on you, and you just try to live receptive to Him each day?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I would have to say that the main thing is God's people. Worshiping with God's people, studying the Word with God's people, having great discussions with God's people, just being around people. And Nick didn't ask me to say this, but I can't help but say God has used Nick's wife, Nicole, in amazing ways as one of those people to encourage me and help me to continue to grow and become the person I am. So God uses His people to keep us growing and keep us faithful to what He wants.
That's awesome. So from 96, we're going to fast forward 20 years to 2016, and I love that you wore the shirt today, which, if you haven't checked out what's going on out in the foyer, there's a timeline of all 32 years of Youth Missions, and there's as many t-shirts as we could collect, about 30 shirts of the 64 teams so far. So Aaron, tell us a little bit about what happened in 2016. Tell us where you went, and just kind of give us a little snapshot of what was significant about that experience.
In 2016, we went to Merida, Mexico. And for me, it was the people there, similar to the way it was for Ron. We participated in a church service there. I think it was one of our last few days. And that was honestly one of the transformative moments for me, because just seeing the joy on all the little kids' faces. And I have a picture of Isaac and a couple of our group members. Isaac was a little kid there. And he has a smile ear to ear, and he was just praising God in such a pure way. And that's kind of when I knew I wanted to go into missions.
Wow. So say again, that's when I knew I wanted to
go into mission.
Go into missions. Like, this, you know, amazing to think about. You know, sometimes when parents, you know, we're wrestling with that. Should we sign up for this trip? Should we go on this? You know, all these details and things. And, like, it's amazing how sometimes even just, like, in a whisper that God plants a seed, you know, on an experience like that, sometimes through a kid, you know. It's like the compellingness of what your life is oriented for changes forever. So give us an idea. So you went on this trip, like, came back. What was different? Was there anything different about the way that you see the people in this community, the ways that you live your life as you're trying to be faithful to that calling to a life of missions?
See, before the trip, I kind of saw God as something that fit into my little bubble and my little space of the world. And I didn't really see the fact that He reaches people, like different people, in all types of different ways. So when I went on the mission trip, it was kind of one of those moments of, wow, like, God has no cultural boundaries. He has no language barriers. He reaches everybody, no matter what. And it was a matter of, like, wow, how can I reach people here, regardless of their circumstance?
Awesome. So just tell us, last question. How do you keep your heart receptive?
Well, here, I go to Ben Davis, and that's kind of my mission field where I'm at. I'm constantly asking my friends if they want to come to church with me and sending them verses every day to encourage them. And then for our youth ministry service week, we're going down to Wheeler Mission
tonight, in fact, yes,
to hand out some care packages at their Sunday night service. And honestly, just serving where I can here when I have the chance. That's how I keep that.
Awesome.
Rooted.
Yeah, Aaron's been instrumental for our freshman-sophomore rooted group. When it came time to think about the serve experience, she's like, I got this, and set it up, did the legwork, you know, did all the communication, so that's been awesome. What I really appreciate about you is, you know, for all of us, when you sense God's calling, it's not just something that happens, you know, after you graduate from college or, you know, some years down the road, but taking that seriously right now, that's awesome. So praise God for that. So look back. A present look, a look forward, Tom. We're so excited to be partnering with Disciple Makers. I've been to Guatemala twice with you, and those were awesome experiences. One was an Impact Guatemala, but we're looking forward, several of us, teens and adults, in joining in. Tell us about Impact 18 and what your hope for will be happening in Las Brisas.
Very good. Well, Impact 18, naturally the 18 I think we get, but Impact, what is that all about? Whenever Disciple Maker starts a new work in Latin America, we like to have an initial team, kind of a bombardment, a blitz, in evangelism, in various ways to work with the local church that we're beginning and starting in that area. So we don't do really many of these. We've only had probably four or five so far. This is a new area in the northern coast, another section for those of you who've been to Honduras in the past with us, but this is a brand new area called Las Brisas, kind of a rural community. And we're going to have approximately 75 to 80 people coming from all different locations, including Chapel Rock and the team that's going there with us. And we're going to divide off into four areas specifically that will help the local church that has begun there to have even greater impact for the kingdom. Those four areas, first of all, we're looking in the medical arena. There's a clinic that is there, and so naturally looking at the physical needs of the people in the community, and maybe not so much looking at trying to help address the symptoms that we're seeing as people would come into what you would consider of a medical clinic and a medical trip, but really trying to look at the impact of the community as far as health. How can we better the health of the community as a whole? And so we're utilizing something called community health evangelism, which looks more into prevention. And so what are some things in the community that we could see that are causing people to come into the clinic? If they could be prevented in the first place, wow, what a better, healthier community we're going to see. So part of this impact trip is involving the medical arena, and part of that is really looking at ways of addressing and looking into preventative type of measures there. So that's the first, medical. Second is in education. One of the members at the local church there happens to be the director of the school. So in essence, this is kind of like the mission school, but we don't have to do the administrative sides of things. We get to do the fun stuff, the spiritual area, and be involved with. And so the director's there, whatever you want to do, come on in and do it. So with that, we're looking at part of the impact team to go in there to be working with the kids, be working with the staff, the teachers, and being able to help bring them into a closer relationship with God and specifically into a personal relationship that they could have with Jesus Christ. So that's a really great, exciting opportunity. The third involves construction. We know that there are some who are a little bit geared more towards doing the physical work of things and less inclined to being in giftedness of being able to teach or being in front of people and so forth. So there's opportunities in the construction arena. Close by in that area in northern Honduras, another church that started here just about 3 years ago, we were able to purchase property, praise the Lord. And so now we're looking at phase one of the building process. And so that's going to involve some initial foundational grunt work of construction. So we've got that third element there. And then the fourth, which is really exciting, is rural evangelism down some river communities off of the Caribbean. They're on the northern coast. Two rivers in particular meander down into the interior of the country, and they're only accessible by boat. And so what we're trying to do with the local church in Las Brisas is help that church also get involved as church plants looking into these rural communities in evangelism. So we'll be taking part of our team of impact in some of the boats. If you notice out there in the foyer area, the big canoe, well, the boats won't maybe look like that, but it gives you the feel and the idea. Probably dug out canoes out of some trees and so forth, but we'll be going down these riverbanks into these rural communities and having some programs that we'll be offering specifically with the purpose of evangelism to help start new works in those communities so that people would come to know about the Lord. So all four of these areas are going to make up this trip, Impact 18, and we're really excited about Chapel Rock sending off a team as well to help get this work launched and started.
I love that. I love the opportunities we've had to do. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I've heard several people say, and I agree, I'd go anywhere with that guy right there, the amazing things that Disciple Makers is doing around the world. This goal to plant 1,000 new churches, I did not misspeak, 1,000 new churches by the year 2020, 2018, 2019, 20. What keeps your heart receptive to the things that God is pouring into you and pouring out through you as you lead this organization. What's that look like?
Yeah, you know, as Nick said, 1,000 churches by the year 2020, December 31st. I need to start back, you know, any types of goals that you have definitely have to come from the Lord as far as what your purpose is, and from that purpose, God, what is it that you would do in the future? Give us just a glimpse of what that's like. I'm sure when Moses, you know, heard the call from the Lord of what he was about to do, if God would have spelled out everything that was going to happen, he would have said, no way. I'm turning this down. I don't care who you are, what's going to happen. But he gave him just enough of a glimpse to go to that next step. Well, back in the year 2009, we knew a new decade was approaching, 2010, that would lead us from 2010 to 2020. And so we began praying, God, within this year, 2009, just give us a glimpse of what you would have us to do for your kingdom. What are things that could be done for your namesake so that people throughout the world would come to know you? And as we began praying and we began looking into all of our fields, both in Latin America as well as Asia, God began to unfold just some glimpses, not the full details, else it would have just scared us to death. But just glimpses of what he would have us to do. And one of those glimpses was to begin church planting in a massive way, in that a church who would be discipled to plant another church, who would be discipled to plant another church. And so how many churches, Lord, can you plant? We're just your vessels. We're not going to be doing this on our own strength. And so through that 2009 process in 2010, part of our 2020 vision was to plant 1,000 churches by the end of the year 2020. To date, there are 500 mother churches, and there are about 250-plus cell churches. Now, when I mention church, keep in mind, as we all well know, the church is not this place that we're sitting in. This is the church right here. We are the church, the people, the flesh and the blood, the heart and the soul. And so when we look at 1,000 churches, we're not talking about building 1,000 church buildings. We're talking about 1,000 church plants where a group of believers will gather together to worship the Lord, be an outreach, to be salt and light in a community. So through that, 500 so far mother churches have been planted. And like I said, through that, 250-plus cell churches have also been started. So we're about at 750 to date. We've got the rest of 2018, 2019, and 2020, a little under 3 years. This is just a goal God has placed before us. It's in his hands. The ball's really in his court. We're willing to be used by him to accomplish that. But we're really excited. And even part of the impact trip that's going to take place, even though this is a brand new work, we're already looking for that church to begin planting some cell churches in these rural communities. And that's what we're really excited about to see. So that's a little bit about that vision of 1,000 churches by the year end of the year 2020.
Awesome. Would you help me thank these guys for sharing? Appreciate it. Yeah. So what might happen? What might happen in your life if a vision God might give to a receptive heart takes root? It might just be something bigger than you ever imagined as what God wants to do in and through you, where you're at, just blows the doors off the hinges in ways that you never expected. Good soil produces a good crop. We've seen it. We'll continue to see God, we trust, produce fruit, produce work in lives that are receptive to his work. And I love Jesus' message, 30, 60, 100 times what was sown, and he'll do it with a receptive heart and good soil. So what might that look like for us, church, as we take seriously this place where God has put us? And if not only thinking about your receptive heart, but helping other hearts around us be receptive, work in the soil where God has placed us. And I'm so grateful for the Discovery Days folks being able to join with us today, and it's so appropriate as we think about the foundation that's laid. You know, we think about some of these experiences that students have had through their teen years, and we think about beyond teen years, what God is doing in that. But what would it look like, church, for us? No matter what age we are, no matter if we have kids or not, if we're grandparents or not, to take seriously this call to prepare the soil in the next generation, to engage as God's people in little hearts that can be transformed in ways we never imagine. Or maybe cultivating soil in your own life might mean that you go on a mission trip like one of these folks we're talking about. Maybe God might be sending you out. We had a team that went earlier this spring to Guatemala for the first time for many of them. Already heard about one guy, Buck Everett, who's like eager to get back on that plane and jump back down there, maybe even in the summer. And God has just gripped him in a way, seeing this kingdom perspective beyond what he ever imagined. Maybe this idea of radical hospitality that we've been talking about through this past vision series that we're trying to flesh out in this kingdom, the place where God has put us looks like us trying to affect the kingdom in ways that we're preparing hearts and soil right here. Casey's talked about us being a middle place. And we've been wrestling with this idea. It's like, okay, Lord, you've placed us literally in the middle between a prison and between one of the largest high schools in the state of Indiana. Like, what does that mean for a church to take seriously? Like, okay, God, if our hearts are receptive to you, how do we go to maybe the places where, and when it comes to this passage, there's some weeding to be done. There's some soil preparation that needs to be done, because it's hard to have a receptive heart sometimes when you're in a place that maybe all you've experienced is trauma or challenge. But what does it look like not only for our hearts to be receptive, but to prepare hearts that are around us? You know, what would it look like if we thought of the places that are around us not as just rocky and barren, but as opportunities for God's people to take seriously this call that he's placed on his life? There's a couple challenges for you today. One is to think about your own receptivity to the seed being planted. Also, to think about ways that you're preparing the soil. But also, in a little bit, we're going to have an opportunity to support this mission team through a special offering that's going to be along with our normal offering. And maybe you can't go right now, but you can be a sender. Maybe your participation is just receptivity to some resources God has placed in your hands to go like, man, yeah, I want to be in on that. I want to be a part of that. And we can't imagine what God does with that, what God does in the hearts of ones that are sent out. I don't know, you know, all this talk about these past 32 years, I can't help but think that maybe there's some folks that are here, maybe it's just your first time here. And when it comes to receptivity, you know, maybe a response today, action point from here forward, is like being receptive and letting the seed of the gospel take root in your life for the first time. Man, Jesus would not want us to miss the opportunity that we would have to be able to take hold of what he, the way truly he wants us to live our lives. Or maybe like the people he was kind of talking to that were sort of in the background of this passage, maybe you've been in a place where you've just kind of been indifferent to helping to prepare soil around. And Jesus, man, had some of the harshest words. It's tricky when we wrestle through this passage, but he had some harsh words for people that are just kind of indifferent to what was happening around them. So maybe a step of application is engaging and going, okay, Lord, I know for me to be used in the way that you want to use me, my heart's got to be broken for the things that your hearts are broken for. As a father of an 8 and a 10-year-old, I can't tell you how excited I am and hopeful to think about the ways that my girls will have opportunities to engage in seeing broken things made whole through this community, through this body of believers, as people take seriously this place of being receptive to what God wants to do in and through us and take up the call of Jesus to engage in the work to be done in our community and around the world. So I'm going to pray. We're going to have an opportunity to respond. We're going to sing, but let's bow together. Lord, God, thank you for the testimony today. Thank you for your good word that is a seed in our life. God, I'm just praying that for all of us, whatever step it is we need to take, we would be in a place where we're receptive, we're eager, we're ready to be used by you in whatever place that might take us. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the work of restoration you're doing through this body. We thank you for the brokenness that you're putting back together through Jesus. God, may we just be open and available in whatever way you would want to use us for your work to take root in us and to produce the crop that you desire. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name.